Hello, my name is Dennis Galloway. So, in order to increase the personal value, I think it's in three areas that you can work on to do that. Education is one area, experience is another, and providing evidence of your experience and your education to others will give them confidence that you have value. And in addition to that, you're going to gain a personal feeling of value yourself. In education, just going to present yourself, for example, or the art of mentoring, or Toastmasters, like I've done, gives you the skills and the education and the tools that you can use to feel that you have more value and to be able to apply those skills to gain experience and respect from others as to the value that you add. Now, I remember one time that I was in acting, and I was in a waiting area that actors usually, especially what they call background actors, which is what I was at the time, I was waiting to go on stage, and I met a young man who was trying to gain confidence in being able to go out in front of the camera. And I remember talking to him about this, and through my experience, I was able to give him some ideas and give him confidence to move forward in his career. And he really, really enjoyed that. It made me feel good. It made me feel like I had value. So through experience, you can gain more value to others. I also believe that providing videos, providing audios of your experience, of the topics that you're going to work on, will give you the experience and the evidence that you need to be able to show that you have value and to feel like you have value, to give you more confidence in doing so. It's interesting when you find that you start gaining this in value, you start feeling stronger, you start really getting excited about what you're doing. So I encourage you and really do 110%. Talk to you later. Hello, this is Dennis Galloway. I'm here to talk to you about something very, very important. It's how do you change your behavior? Now, a lot of people have talked about this in different forms, but I'm going to give you a real-world example. My education is in engineering, and there was a course that we had to take, and a class we had to take in order to finish and get a degree. And this class was the toughest engineering class I've ever seen. It flunked out students left and right all the time, and you had to pass this class to get your degree. Now, engineering is pretty tough by itself, and it has a lot of math. Well, math and I are not good friends. But I had this class I had to get through in order to survive, and I was really nervous. I had friends that had to take it a couple of times, had to do it again. Everybody was sweating this. So one day, I decided, you know what? I'm going to stop being afraid of this, and I'm going to say, I love this math. I love this class. This is something that I wake up in the morning thinking about all day. So I kept up that change of mind, change of behavior, for at least a week or two before this final test came up. I went to every class. I got there first, got front row seats, I took notes, I did the homework twice, I made up my own projects and my own plans, my own problems. I just really loved this math and I loved this class. Changed my behavior and I did it. And you know what? I not only got through that class, I got an A+. I got the best grade possible in that class. I aced an A+. Now, who would have thought, right? So how did I do that? How did I change my attitude and my behavior? Well, I did what's called a declaration. I declared that I was going to be the best student in that class. I declared that I loved this mathematics. I declared that I was going to be awesome. And I told myself that morning, noon, and night. and it worked. So, you want to change your behavior? Decide what you want to change it to and believe that. Become that. Wear the clothes if you're going to be a businessman. Get in that car if you think that's the car you want. Change your outlook and how it is going to be. Change your after story. Believe that's where you're going to go and where it's going to happen, okay? When you start doing that, it will happen just like you thought it would, just like you said it would, just like you believed it would, because you declared it so. All right, go out and do it. Change that behavior. This is Dennis Galloway. I'm here to talk to you about something very important that you need to look into. To find out if this is something that you have a problem with. Like, if you think in all or nothing terms, you just might be a perfectionist. If you think and then act in extremes, you just might be a perfectionist. You can't trust others to do a little task correctly, so you have to do it yourself. You just might be a perfectionist. Now, that's something you don't want to do. Because perfectionism can lead to depression and anxiety, self-harm. It can even be obsessive-compulsive disorder. You never know, but it's going to drive you nuts, I can tell you this. And the further thing you do to be a perfectionist, the further away you get to being yourself. So remember, don't try to be perfect. It's not necessary. You don't want to be perfect because people look at perfectionism, and they think it's rather calculating, rather cold. You know, if you don't prepare well for a video or comb your hair perfectly every day, don't worry about it. It's the message you're trying to bring across that's important. Mistakes, you got to understand, are actually a learning opportunity. And the more mistakes you make, the more you learn. The key there, though, is to learn so you don't repeat them. Don't want to repeat them. So, but that doesn't mean you're perfect. That just means you're moving up to the next level. So you can go on and do more things. Make more mistakes, but you can learn more. Do you remember on TV or in the movies that character Spock on Star Trek? And how emotionless he was. So it was hard to relate to him because he was trying to be perfect. He thought, no emotions, very calculating, very scientific, very accurate. That is perfectionism. That's what they strove for. But did you see how hard it was to relate to him? How the other group in the crew had a hard time relating to him until some of his human side, where he made mistakes, or he got angry, or he was letting those emotions come through, made him more human. There was another character there too, by the name of Data. Now, Data was built to be perfect. He was an android, right? He was a robot. So making mistakes was not something that he was set up to do. I can hear dogs barking in the background. That shows you how imperfect my setup is. Anyway, so Spock tried to be perfect and hard to relate to. Data was always trying to be more human because humans make mistakes. And he wanted to be accepted, but people didn't accept him very well because he was too perfect, too cold, too calculating. You have to understand that being real and being who you are is more important to be able to connect to people. Because of you being a human, other people who are human, they make mistakes. And they can say, hey, look, this person is like me. They make mistakes, you know. I think I'll give them a break and I'll listen to what they have to say because they're not perfect. And maybe because of the mistakes they made, the imperfections they had, maybe they actually learned something they can pass on to me. And it would be worth it because I know they've gone through it. I know they've made the mistakes, right? So being perfect is not the goal. Learning is the goal. Understanding is the goal. Being a real person, relating to real people, being able to talk to them and come across as genuine, brings credibility to what you're saying. Being real is more captivating and enduring than anything else. Your fallibility is okay. People want to see that.
and that way they can relate to you and thus understand and connect with you. So, what are we saying out of all of this? If you find yourself demanding standards of yourself and others, you might be a perfectionist. If you think and then act in extremes, you might be a perfectionist. Or if you use the word should a lot, I should do this, they should do that, you might be trekking up to being a perfectionist, and that's not what you want to do. All right? So, I leave you with these imperfect words. Go out and have a good day. Be yourself. Make mistakes and laugh at it. Learn from it and move on. Don't let it drag you down. Don't let it stop you. All right, Dennis Galloway signing off. See you later.
Hi, this is Dennis Galloway once again. Just want to talk to you briefly about how important it is to share your message and why you must share your message. When you think about this world and all the issues that people face, all the troubles that they go through, having some guide somehow helps. Your message may not be directly right exactly what's happening to them at the time, and yet it might be. Well, I'm out here in a neighborhood, and you can hear the dogs barking in the background. But if you listen to what I'm saying, the message that you want to convey is a message of hope, a message of information, a message of happiness, a message that will bring new breath and new life to the person that's listening to it. So they come away from your message with a little bit more spirit, a little bit more hope, a little bit more vision, maybe with a new idea of what to do next. So it's important that you do talk, that you do present, that you do give your message, whatever that is. There is somebody out there that needs to hear it. There is somebody out there that can use it. There's somebody out there that needs some help in here. So, when you have a message, be bright and clear about it. Talk to people as if they're talking to friends, as if we know each other, because it is a one-on-one thing that you do when you give a message. It is a one-on-one talk. It is a one-on-one help that you're providing. And if you do that, it'll get across. So you must share your message. There's so many people out there that need it. Again, this is Dennis Galloway, and I hope this came across clear, and I hope you understand the urgency of this and why your message is important. You have something to say, so go out and say it. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Dennis Galloway. I'm talking to you today about how to mend a relationship. Most of the time, when there is a disruption in a relationship, it has to do with miscommunication or misunderstanding. A lot of times, you can mend that by getting very clear on what you're trying to say and what you're trying to communicate. There was a story once that somebody told me that when people are on the opposite sides of a chasm, you first have to build a bridge from one person to the other. And then you walk across that bridge to that other person and you listen to what they have to say. You don't say anything, you don't comment, you just listen. And then you talk to them about understanding it from their viewpoint. Maybe by repeating it back to themselves or saying, what I think you're saying is this, or what I think you're telling me is this. And when you do that, it brings empathy and a connection to them. Then you walk back across the bridge with that person to your side. In other words, then you relate what you believe you heard and what your opinion is and what your viewpoint is on whatever you're talking about. So that way you both talk about the misunderstanding and not about each other or accusing each other or picking on their characteristic or saying things like, you never understand, you never hear me. If you attack the person and their character, then they're going to shut you off completely and they will never listen to you. So to mend a relationship, you have to focus on the problem, on the issue that caused the rift, that caused the misunderstanding, or caused the hurt or the pain. And by doing that, then you can begin the process of healing. So again, to mend a relationship, identify what it is that's the problem. What is the issue? Put it outside of between you. Make it something both of you can focus on and not each other. Not the messenger, not the person, not past history or past events, but on the issue at hand, the thing that you're trying to solve. Okay? So when you find yourself on opposite from another person and there's a chasm between you, a chasm of misunderstanding, mistrust, then you want to build that bridge over to them by offering an opportunity to them that you'll just listen and be quiet, by a peace offering, a dinner, a gift, some act that you perform in their behalf, so that you can start building that bridge so they'll be open to listen to you. And then when you cross that bridge over to their side, you actually listen. You sit down and try to see it from their viewpoint. You know, you've heard the old saying, before you criticize, walk a mile in their moccasins. It's true. Listen to what they have to say. Try to understand their viewpoint without any judgment, without any criticism, without any attack on them. Just listen. And then bring them over the bridge to your side. Invite them to sit down and talk with you, so you have a chance to bring up your viewpoint and your opinion on the object and this and the thing that you're trying to do. Because what you want to do is make sure that that thing that you're trying to solve is not between you, but outside of both of you. So both of you can focus on what it is you're talking about. So that's what I have for you, is this gift of a process that you can go through to mend a relationship. All right. So now you have the tools and now you can do it. All right. Thank you.